Okay, let's go ahead and get started. We just to let everybody know, we had prayer as part of the executive session. Welcome everybody here. First item of business, did somebody end up with an agenda to hand out?
Is this the agenda?
What, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll borrow one of those for me and Larry to share, and if you want to pass those down. All right, let's start with finding out who we have on the phone call today so that Mariah can get them in our notes. You wouldn't mind telling us who you are if you're on the phone and what lot you're involved with.
Scott Kohler, lot 15.
Okay, hi, Scott. Anybody else?
Hi.
Dylan Littlefield, 274.
Hey, Brad, would you mind...
Is that... 254?
74.
Okay. Anybody else on the phone?
Littlefield. Vance, 156.
Hey, Vance. How are you?
I'm good.
That's good. Anybody else on the phone? All right, Mariah, did you get all those?
I did.
Great. And as far as board, everybody's here on the board. And we'll go around. And let me know, Mariah, if you can hear. We'll go around the audience so everybody can introduce themselves real quick.
That
we'll start with
good.
You back there. Did you get that, Cindy Olson, lot 17, Mariah?
Thank you. No, I didn't.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Collins, lot
121. You hear that?
151?
Yes, the Collins.
121.
121.
21. Okay. Yeah, you better repeat everybody to me.
Okay. Brent's here.
117.
Brent, 117.
Perfect.
What's your first name?
Bye.
Bye. Everett, nice to meet you. I'm Barry. And then we got Jeff Nicholson, but he's taking care of a dog.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thank you.
And Brad's wife here.
Tammy.
Got
Tammy.
It, thanks.
More.
All right. You want to introduce yourself as you're coming in so we can get you on the record? Bob Hedman, 160, and who's with you? Marnie Hedman, okay.
Now we're going to be all day. Dale's got to recite his part.
And Dale's here, miscellaneous number of lots. I think that's it.
Perfect, thank you.
Welcome, everybody. We'll turn some time over to Kathy to present the meeting minutes from our last meeting and have any lead any discussion related to those, and then hopefully we'll vote to approve them.
I read them. I wasn't there at the meeting. I read them. Everything seemed okay to me. Anybody else have any input or correction?
Nope. I looked them through. They looked accurate as to what we had.
Okay. I would propose that we approve them.
Second.
Larry seconds it. All in favor, or any opposed to approving the meeting minutes from last meeting? None. Looks like it passed unanimously.
Thank you.
All right. Let's turn the time over first to Joe on his treasurer report, and then I'm sure, Mariah, you'll have some follow-up. Can you hear Joe all right, Mariah?
Let me give it a go, and we'll see how we do.
All right, he's already been talking, so if you didn't hear him, we need to... You want to come down here, trade places or something for a minute?
Just trade places.
All right.
We collected about 83% of the dues. The checking, we got $119,875. Savings, we got $59,058. The other savings, we got $42,61. And like I said, we collected 83%. So far, considering we're doing pretty good, I don't know what this virus is going to do for the rest of the year for collections. We may be held off on quite a bit. other than that, the everything is going okay. We're not in any danger of anything. So unless Mariah's got something else, it's up to you, Mariah.
Okay. Just to add in there, cabin reservations are increasing right now. And right now we have 20 members who are currently approved to be water haulers for the year. That's all I have.
All right. Okay. Mariah?
Yes.
When you say cabin reservations are increasing, tell me a little bit about what's happening month by month, or what if you're seeing lots of reservations in July and August, or if there's a concentration, or if it's just the same as every year. Do you have any feeling on that?
Well, right now what I've seen, we stalled out for quite a while. Reservations are now starting to pick up. For the most part, we have quite a few reservations scheduled in June and July, mainly family reunions, most of them already on the books from last year. The new reservations that I'm receiving are falling into those areas, but also into the August, September, and October areas. However, I would say probably our most busiest months are June and July at this point. They're picking up. They're not as normal, but they are picking up at this point.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. What I'd like to do is, probably right now is as good a time as any to talk a little bit about what we anticipate doing with reservations through the summer, and that was brought up last time a little bit with Kurt. I'd like to invite him to talk about what he proposes, and then let's have a discussion with the membership as to how we deal with reservations through the summer, whether we take days off in between, or how we deal with that, and then try to make a decision on moving forward, because we really need to know what we're doing to give you instructions on what reservations to take and any restrictions we are going to or may have. So, Kurt, it's probably best if you come stand by the microphone or bring your chair down so that Mariah can hear you as well as everybody on the phone.
So far what Brian and I have been working out on the cabin rentals is we had a lot of reservations from last year before the coronavirus issue. And so Joe had brought up a great idea that we to put this 4-day gap between reservations so that if there is a virus in one of the cabins, it has time to die before we have the next one coming in. As it stands right now, we have hot turns in that we have checkout in the morning, check-in in the afternoon. And so there's no rest between. We have a few of those, but we're not scheduling any more of those. And for the most part, here through the season, we're planning on putting the 4-day gap, and then we'll just see how the season proceeds, and we're just going to have to just go month to month on it.
Can we talk about the 4-day gap?
Yes.
Did everybody concur with that?
Well, we did a couple meetings ago, or last meeting, I think.
I think we've talked about it. It's what's kind of been looked at, but that's what today's for us to discuss, whether that's long enough, too long, whether that makes sense or whether it doesn't. Joe, why don't you tell them where that number came from? That might be helpful.
That number came from, I did some research on the Internet with the New England Medical Journal, and they said how many days and how many hours the virus would live on the cardboard and glass and steel and so on and so forth. Turns out that around 72 hours, most of it is gone, even on stainless steel. But the other thing that scared me was I researched out the stars and mirrors. They found after it was all over and said and done, some of the viruses lasted as much as 9 days. But we don't know if this one's going to be less or more. It's supposedly a cousin of it, but that's where I come up with the idea of going 4 days. Because we don't have the ability for the hanging to really sanitize these. I read another article in Consumers Magazine Report, and they were saying to spray a bleach with water, use 1/3 cup of bleach to a gallon of water is sufficient to kill everything within the hour. So we can also do that. Walk in and just mist some of the areas.
And I have plans on doing that.
sanitizing.
You better check on your 100%.
That was only a suggestion. I'm not.
That's way high. But that's when nobody's actually there. When you're 100 parts per million applies to working surfaces where you're handling food. Because if you add too much bleach to a cutting board, you're going to get people sick. If you don't add enough, you can get them sick. 100 parts per million is a safe human consumption level. But when I'm going in the day before, even hours before, and dousing bleach somewhere, even if I use straight bleach, it'll dissipate before it'll get anybody sick. But that's a good point.
My personal feeling is that members, there's nobody in the world who doesn't know about coronavirus. And the members use their common sense. And so they know the risks that we all take whenever we come out there. Automatically guarantees risks that are involved in that.
Yeah.
So unless you feel like there's some dangerous risk of whatever you got to do to restock the cabin, the members should be responsible for themselves. So I'm not necessarily going to trust you cleaning the cabin when I come in. I'm going to disinfect.
And I absolutely, you should
for
do
myself.
That.
And she might trust you and just come in and go on or whatever.
Right.
That's her own decision. We can't legislate.
Right, and there's no guarantee.
Change.
Right.
And almost every week for the first month, it was a whole different world that we're living in.
Right.
And now, you know, a couple of minutes in sunlight, and there's nothing. It killed it on everything.
Right.
And so I don't think the risk is very high for us to use the cabins as fast as you can turn them over and members want to use them. I think you should put them in use. Members know they're using them at their own risk and that they have. I don't think necessarily even personally, I don't think you should have to come in and clean up behind anybody. Come in and restock.
Well,
if you'd be cleaning, if you do, then that should be charged to that person who didn't clean up behind themselves.
Well, here's back up a second. Regarding cleaning, I'm setting a time schedule on each cabin, what it takes to turn the cabin. And if a mess is left in a cabin and I have to spend extended time cleaning it, that's going to be billed to the person who is last in that cabin. So we're establishing a time frame on that already. And I don't mind sanitizing the cabin after somebody's been there. You're right, I shouldn't be having to clean the cabin. I should just restock it, handle the linen. And that's primarily what the job is. But it doesn't take me 10 minutes to go through about any cabin and give it a good sanitization. And I wouldn't expect anybody to trust me. Take your own measures that you're taking. We're just doubling up on it.
Are you uncomfortable coming in?
I'm not uncomfortable at all. That doesn't bother. Personally, I am not uncomfortable. I'm not worried about it.
We open the cabins for members of use.
Right.
As proceed as normal, and they're responsible for their own precautions.
I'm totally good with that. I'm just going on the 4-day thing that we discussed in the last meeting, and that's what we've been doing.
When this started, I would be 100% behind the 4-day thing. But as it's progressed now, with the infection rate in Utah, and obviously it comes in, it can come into your circle no matter where you are instantly.
Well, I mean, my daughter was exposed to it. That's why she never came out to visit, but it turned out to be she never tested positive for it. It's a real thing, but, now they're saying it's there's so much politics involved in it that I am not afraid of it at all myself.
Tammy, do you have something?
Yeah, Kurt, I have to send out a
Hey, Kurt? Yeah.
It's Vance. I got a suggestion for you. When's the next time you take a water sample in?
Wednesday. That'll be Jeff Nicholson.
Okay. Why don't you visit with Southwest Utah Health and ask them about, kind of outline what we got and ask them about best practices if you think it won't put us on their radar.
Yeah, it'll put us on their radar.
All right, we're going to turn some time over to Tammy. She's got to speak up, though.
Anyway, the email that you sent out was very detailed as to what my responsibility is as someone that's coming in to use the cabin. And I feel like she covered all the bases on what we needed to do as far as sanitize, that it's at our own risk. So I feel like that covers what we're doing.
Well, I'd be. You guys are the members. You tell us. We work for you. So tell us if you're concerned as members that are here today. Obviously, a small fraction of everybody, but do we treat it similar to the water and say, you know, use at your own risk, or do we need to take a more active role in protecting? Go ahead. You got to speak up.
And then for the cost. But 4 days when everybody wants to come in between,
let me ask this. Mariah, I have a question for you. Have we actually had or turned away any reservations for Memorial Day weekend?
Oh, yeah.
We have had, no, I haven't had any reservations come in requesting Memorial Day weekend. However, I took it off of the book, so I don't know whether there's been people interested in coming in that I'm not aware of.
Okay, so that it's possible that people, and Kathy said she was looking at it. So if people went to the website, then they saw that it was not available, so they wouldn't have called in.
That is correct.
Okay. If we can find from Dubai.
The whole thing.
Hey, Mariah?
Yes.
On your on that sheet that you send out to Doug, as Tammy read that to me, the one point is if we're using a lot of Clorox suddenly in the cabins and we're flushing it down the sinks and the toilets, then we're killing off the bacteria for our septic tank. So it should be encouraged to throw bleach water outside on the ground and not on or not down our septic tank.
Okay.
Any other comments as far as using cabins and whether we have a break in between, whether we take a more active role or less role? Joe?
So one question for you, actually. If someone does get sick, can they sue us?
Not really.
Anybody can sue anybody anytime.
The bottom line is we're all members, so it would be suing yourself, and we're a nonprofit, so I wouldn't be too worried.
It's a non-member.
Even then, unless they can show that we're negligent, that we didn't do something we were supposed to do, then I wouldn't be too concerned about getting sued. And if we added into the... the problem is members, a lot of members have time that they then either sell or allow to non-members. There's no way to regulate that, and we don't want to be honest with you. We want anybody that, I mean, if they have time and they pay for their membership, then they should be able to do with their time whatever they want. Yes. No, I understand.
Well, a lot of people have, they stay on their property and then their guests rent cabins. And so it's just been now.
But the member itself is renting the cabin. I mean, friends in the cabin.
But
the outsider renting the cabin as an outsider, right?
Well, we have both. We have members that allow friends and neighbors or rent to friends and neighbors to use it. Then occasionally we'll have somebody actually contact the ranch to rent, and we've always had a program that a non-member can rent. They pay a lot more money, but they can rent cabins. So
we've actually had people drive up and say, oh, where's the nearest place I can get a room? And if he has an empty cabin, he can accommodate.
Right there.
He can accommodate, yes. And it has happened.
All right. We're getting
an advertised
right. So any other, you're back on this, you know, the breaks in between and cleaning schedule or opening up the cabins just like we would any other year, any other comments or feedback?
This is Mariah. I would just like to voice my concern that I think we do need a layover period between them. I'm also concerned about Kurt. I know that he feels confident that's his decision, but I am personally concerned about the ramifications if he were to come down sick. And I base my knowledge only on how sick I was earlier this year, not knowing for sure or not whether I had the virus. But I know that it's real, and I would hate for us to put a member in a situation, especially with most of our members, for a good majority of those using the cabins, those who may have compromised health problems. So I agree they should be responsible for themselves, but I do still voice my concern that we need to have a space between reservations.
Oh,
what's that?
There's a 48-hour law in Southern Utah that you have to have between room rentals.
I think 4 days.
Well, and maybe there's a compromise between 4 days and 48 hours, or 2 days, that we could try. I mean, this isn't permanent. This is for really what we're talking about, the month of May, which we've basically postponed any reservations, and then June, and we'll have meetings in between. We can always change it.
Yeah.
We don't want to turn members away, but at the same time, I hate to, I mean,
Wendy, go ahead.
I don't want to cause any problems. I think as a directive for right now, the bleach treatment is not in question. I think we need to make that a practice for the foreseeable future regardless. The question is do we do a 4 or 2 day break? I hate to see 4 days. That's the majority of a week. I personally don't think that would work. If we can have a day or two in between and the bleach treatment, then I think my personal opinion is we go ahead and open up the cabins.
Okay.
And do it as an instruction to Mariah, just to say, whenever possible, a 2 day break in between. We already have existing reservations. We add to our disclosures that says, look, you're coming at your own risk, but we still do the best we can to keep people safe and help. John, you got something?
Well, I was at for 2 days, and then Bert is willing to get a little bit of pizza. And I think on our part, people need to take a little responsibility themselves.
Well, my question is, it's out of their time. The window. Their time going to be another year? Or is it just out?
I think it's just out. We're all in this together. We're all members trying to protect each other, and if we have to give up 2 days of our time this year, then we can't roll that over to next year.
It's not our fault. There's been people losing business out there, people going broke with the virus, and the government is doing a certain amount of things to give them a little money, but you just can't keep doing that, and I don't think we should give them that time. We're all running the risk, and life is risk. I might walk out of here and croak right out here. Huh?
On the opposite side of that, it's not their choice.
Well,
okay.
No, but
yeah, we don't have the
we're
time
all
to
suffering,
give.
Though.
We don't. If we accumulated time over, we wouldn't have anything to rent out.
Well, that was because I had said in Newport. There's already not enough time to give. So we're
there's plenty of cabin time. Let's clear that up right now. There's plenty of cabin time. If you want Memorial Day weekend or Labor Day weekend or the 4th of July, yes, the ranch is going to be full. But lots of other times there's empty in high parts of the week all the time. So
our average rental is about 40% a year. That's our occupancy rate. And between holiday weekends, there's always cabins. I've gone through records the last 2 years, and Brian's given me a lot of that information, and there's plenty of time to use. It's not holiday weekends.
Okay, let's have John, and then I'm going to call for a motion to
just so we can make a decision and move on.
I just want to make one point for that there. You know, in our old way of doing things here, we had these 2 weeks, and most people that would come out at least about 3 or 4 days, you automatically lose the rest of the week. Either you use it or lose it. That's what forever here. So I think that would ask partially answer that. Does it not? I don't.
Well, if they're electing not to use it, that's one thing. I'm sorry, you can't come. That's a whole different way of losing.
Well, they can come. They just may not be able to come the day that they want. If every member out here wanted the 4th of July weekend, there'd be a heck of a lot of people we'd have to say no to.
Correct.
So.
All right. I appreciate the input, but we're going to make a decision right now as to what we're going to do until the next meeting or through June, and then we'll revisit it as we move along, and we'll be a lot smarter next month than we are this month. Because like Brad said, if this has come up, 2 months ago or 6 weeks ago, then I would have felt completely differently than I do now. So I think we address it now and move on.
I would recommend, and it's a motion that we
yep.
did. I think that the state law right now is a 48-hour hospitality turnover. I don't know why we couldn't follow that.
Perfect.
A little bit more on the Clorox or Lysol or whatever than a normal, but disinfect is best, but notify members. It's stupid to me that the government had to tell people to wash their hands.
You know, it's funny. I go to the hardware store. Got to go to the bathroom. You go in there, nothing abnormal normally. Now you go in there, the trash can's like this, paper towel.
All right, we have a motion on the table to the extent we can have a 48-hour or 2-day break in between reservations, and we amp up our cleaning Lysol or Clorox. If we have stashes, we need to have those, a can available in each cabin. Is there a second?
I would like to add that Mariah puts in on her reservation what she's been doing, but also expand the liability.
I think that I haven't seen it because
yeah,
I haven't reserved.
Is it at your risk? Okay.
Did it specifically talk about disinfecting? Okay, I think we're pretty covered. I haven't seen it because I haven't made a reservation for it. I think Mariah's doing a fantastic job, by the way, of making sure that we're covered on those things and water and everything.
Right.
And
one more rider,
Who's on the counter? And it's a speech test in one day, as the month goes on, things change.
Well, I think the final, we need to give them guidelines, and at the end of the day, between Kurt, because he's the one that's personally interacting, then they have to have some flexibility. You have to use your brain, and we have confidence that Kurt and Mariah can figure that out. So, all right, we got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion passes unanimously.
Barry, who seconded the motion, please?
Kathy did. What's that?
Thank you.
We can let that depend if it is a state law.
Well, it doesn't apply to us. That's a state law for if you have a hospitality under the hotel industry.
We kind of fall underneath them,
that's
what we're doing.
It's a good idea. We're doing something similar. So, although we're not required to, I think it makes sense. Okay.
Barry, before we move on, I know that brought up the 20 water haulers approved.
Uh-huh.
Can we kind of talk about that a little bit?
Time is yours.
I just have a few questions on who they are, what they're charging, if they all meet the state guidelines.
Okay, the charges
you're
in the rules.
You're talking about somebody that can haul water for you.
Right.
She's talking about something.
Oh, no.
Water
haulers are people that have cabins here that come get water
okay,
and haul it.
That's
water
what I was
haulers.
Trying to find out.
Yeah.
Nobody's hauling water.
No.
Okay.
Well, members are hauling water, but we're not selling it to somebody else.
Okay. Awesome. That's what I was wondering.
clarify?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're looking for a person that you can hire to haul you water, right now I don't know of anybody because Kanab City does not even have a state-approved culinary water source. Can't buy, legally, you cannot buy water all from Kanab City.
Anyway. Fredonia does.
Fredonia does. But there are companies that deliver water to the wildland fire crews. And
yeah, I was going
to
say,
catering
Kane County does because I've seen them haul.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, I just had some clients inquiring about it. That's
yeah.
why I was asking.
Well,
in the near future,
we're
I think there will be a few people that are doing something, but right now.
Once we get a certified station, water hauling station here, then I think you'll have other people that are willing to provide the service. But
okay.
We're that's one of the projects we're working on this year.
Super.
All right. If nothing else, we're going to turn the time over to actually Brad. Do you want to go first so that you, if you have to skip out, you can.
Sure. So we've been in a, I know we kind of posted and everything.
We are going to talk about that's a big that's
big.
The biggest item of discussion today.
Well,
let me start with that.
Okay, Mariah.
Yes.
We're gonna skip to the cutting back on the budget discussion because John and Brad are both anxious to maybe leave a little bit early, and so we'll hold off on the property management and office report for a second. Is that all right?
That's perfect. Thank you.
John, let's turn the time over to you to get whatever you have for roads and other discussion, and then they'll talk about budget so Brad can.
Okay, well, I've had bigger plans this year for those, but that's not going to be now. I'm going to have to cut back on some of those plans. But I would like to announce to everybody, I announced it earlier to these guys, but the county did run their grader last week all the way up Meadow Canyon to the back gate. Did not go through it and grade the roads up there. Up and graded Meadow Canyon, and Meadow Canyon is in good shape. It was, had some rough spots before that, but that's one that I won't have to do. and so I'm happy for that. So now I had some ideas on what I wanted to do with the roads this year, and I haven't had a chance to drive over them yet and look at them. I have a certain amount of budget, and I know that I'm going to have to give some up, and I'm willing to give some up. I've got about 25 there. We can start half of it if you need it.
Well, I think, and we'll discuss the budget in a second. What we're talking about is not necessarily giving it up, but postponing it to
yeah,
see
well,
what happens
I
through
understand.
The summer, because we're not saying we're not going to have the money to spend. We just don't want to get ahead of our budget. As far as that goes, so we'll talk about that in a second. Are you ready to talk about budget? Do you have anything else on your road?
No, I don't really have anything else, but I haven't been back here long enough to do anything. I've just been getting things ready up there, so I don't know. I only know Meadow Canyon is good right now.
They also ran Slide Canyon.
Did they?
Yes.
Good
wow.
for them.
Wow. Just the BLM axis, low part of Slide.
All right, let's turn our attention to the budget, and I'm just going to ask each person to talk a little bit about what they're willing to postpone, not necessarily give up, and I'll start. Mariah, it seems like, and I don't have the budget in front of me, but it seems like we had, for legal and water, we had a budget, well, for legal, we had budgeted $3,000, is that right?
Yes.
And with where things are at, we're still going to have to spend money on some of the licensing and that kind of stuff, but I proposed to help out with the collections at no cost to Deer Springs, and the board's approved that, and even though I'm also a member and currently on the board, but free is free, so I can't imagine anybody's going to be too disappointed with that. When I say free, that means if I collect a delinquent, if my firm collects a delinquency, then whatever costs are passed along to that member for not paying on time, which are authorized in our bylaws and CC&Rs and under the law. So I think we could probably cut that cut the legal budget down to about $1,000. Do you think that's correct?
Yeah, I think we could cut it down to that much. We've had a great couple of years without having to tap into that legal budget, so I feel like we could make that work.
The second thing is I'm over water, and as we talked in the last meeting, we had set aside a decent chunk of money to address possibly setting up a solar system pump at the Half Moon Reservoir to provide water to livestock and wildlife and do some upgrades there. And I just propose and I think that budget needs to be put back into the general budget, and we'll address Half Moon Reservoir next year or as money permits later in the year. I think we just put it off. Jeff, you got something? Now, that Dad's water right has a limit, but the Deer Springs water right and Half Moon is proved up and done. So I think we have some time to put that in place later and save that money. And Mariah, you can probably tell us how much that was, because I don't remember off the top of my head.
It looks like we had... It looks like we had set aside about $15,000 to do that. If I understand correctly, you wanted about $3,000 to do the water hauling station. Is that correct?
Yes. And I failed to mention that. We are going to do the water hauling station because that's important and needs to be done sooner. So I can't give up all the money, but whatever's over and above, I would say $3,500 for the water hauling station, then that can be added back to the regular budget.
That would be fantastic. That would give us about $15,000 back on the budget.
Mariah, as far as the cabins on the budget there, we've spent $17,000 from talking to Joe on furniture, furnishings, house furnishings. So we could probably give up $2,300 of the cabin budget for both. Is there any other ones that you could see that we could? We're renting them. We can't do any more. So $2,300 on house furnishing.
Okay.
All right, Brad, let's start down at your end with giving up money. This is the fun part of the job.
Well, obviously, if we have to have the money to fund the rancher, then all things come back to where we spend the money for the budget. Well, do you have anything else besides budgets to talk about, or does this mean that?
Well, no, I think we need to go through the budget and then turn it over to you for the rest of your discussion. Right now, I just want to talk about money and see if we can't, and again, postponing things that we might be able to postpone till later this year, see where we're at.
Currently happy to be spending on anything that's water for me until we see how this progresses.
Okay. All right. Kirk, any ideas?
$11,000 slotted for Camp 6. And I'll postpone all of that. But I will, in the meantime, gut cabin six and get it ready and do everything I can without spending money. So when the money does come available. I got $3,500 for the blacksmith shop to rebuild. I'll postpone that. It's almost ready to drop, so that'll be cleaned up and out of here this next week. And then I would like to have about... Of everything that I have in the budget, about $2,500 to $3,000, I would like to put a sprinkler system on the lawn and finish the corral, which is just posts and boards and stuff. Well, at least get that horse area done, get that fence out of there.
You can always get cedar posts too.
Yeah, we can always get. We can get cedar posts too. It's just be changing what we're doing on the ground.
Part of the agriculture is the restoration of the headquarters, and so if you get up and everybody walks over and looks at the crowds, you'll see a huge difference of the appearance of the crowds than if you go down to the road and then look up at the crowds. So, but we only do it according to how we've got money, and if there's money enough, then we're trying to restore the ranch corrals and headquarters as we can afford to do it. And so I don't think we should have this look one way and then build another corral out of cedar posts or something, and unless we just put that in. I guess I'm open to any ideas. I have a concern there that we are on the same page and we're working on the same thing out here on the same project.
Right.
Using our energy and money in the same direction.
Well, there's a lot more on the corral than what you and I talked about yesterday. That a lot of the corral can hold off restoring it and stuff, but I just think having a horse in it is something that is productive. If you don't think it's useful, I'm behind you on it.
I guess if you explain to me what the horse can, what about the corral? Can people put their horse in there?
I was just thinking about your horse. Where do you put your horse
in? In the corrals that are bells at the time.
Okay.
And whatever. Plenty of corrals that we have so far, as far as our needs are ever concerned.
Okay.
Unless there's a specific need that I don't understand.
That's what I'm aware of.
And keep in mind, well, I think you were just talking about postponement. We might get to July and say, hey, we've had more money and let's go ahead and do it. There's two things. There's the budget, and then there's man hours to be able to do it. We can have $1 million in the budget and be running like chickens with our heads cut off to do everything else and not have time. So I think if you'll postpone for right now, it may be a complete different discussion in June or July.
Okay, that's not spending money in some areas for this right now.
I think also
yeah,
well, it's not really a luxury when you're spending 2.5 hours a day watering grass. So you turn on a switch. But, I don't have a problem postponing the sprinkler system.
Let's just see how things go. And all right, we've already heard kind of from Joe on cabins and John. So, and by the way, between what we've already talked about, then we've basically addressed this. The possible shortfall in the budget. So
I get to spend all mine. Thank you.
you got to put a little skin in the game.
I already the budget we had for fish was waived on our last meeting. Dale offered to pay for the fish. The fish are supposed to be delivered the last week of May or the first week of June. They're having issues because of Corona, and he said, "Give me a month to get things worked out." But we'll have fish delivered just like before, but Dale's paying the cost.
Thank you, Dale.
I had money in Mariah. What did we put in for fish pond cleanup? And we had a
yeah. Sorry, give me just 1 minute to pull that up.
That's definitely something that we can put on hold. I was going to do some improvements around each of the ponds to clean them up and put some big rock lining so you have a defined bank instead of just a mudslide into each side. I still think we should do that work, but it does not have to happen or the money counted for right now.
Well, I definitely think pond number one, if it can be cleaned out, and I mean, it's only about this wide between the weeds. So if there's a way to do that, whether now or in the fall or something, then I'd definitely like to see it. Mariah, did you find your place?
Yes, I did. So we had anticipated that Larry would need $4,500. He didn't feel like that would cover it, but he felt like that would go a long ways, if I remember
I
right.
We had $1,600 for each pond. And so if we want to just maybe tackle pond number one for now and $1,500, that would give $3,000 plus the $2,100 of fish, so that's about $5,000 back. I think it's just the way it's been forever and ever. Is it?
It wasn't like that last year.
It's not the bottom of the post that's sinking, it's the attachment. Yeah, okay. We have a... It's probably a liability.
We ought to get those things taken care of, but we
we need to look at it, see what needs to be adjusted. That's a perfect, you know, a lot of people come up and want a project to work on, and that might be one that they can, that members can lift that back up and reattach it.
Are you guys going to be going up and doing stuff?
All right. I think that takes care of our, again, we're going to keep the same budget. We're not changing the budget. We're just postponing certain items on there, so keep that in mind. And if you want to or have a need to spend money, then I just think we need to have an email so that we're all on board rather than surprised later on that money was spent. And I think we're doing a pretty good job there. All right, Brad, let's turn the time over to you so you can enlighten us. And
there's been a lot of.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
But could we move the device down, or could Brad come closer? I'm missing a lot of the conversation.
We're going to invite Brad to come sit down in the hot seat. I'll straighten the seats right here. I want to get in the shade, if you don't mind.
I can move down.
Literally the hot
seat. Okay. There's been a lot of questions about an agricultural budget, and because of the fact that I'm tied in with Dad, who has the lease with the cows out here, then I think people have been skeptical, and a lot more questions have arisen about what we're doing. So for the immediate portion of this speech, let's just remove the cattle contract. Let's just talk about Deer Springs Ranch itself, and our have nothing to do with cows or the contract or anything else going. We divide up our monies, as you've just heard, in different budget areas, and it's been done so for years to be able to take care of our ranch. And the part that I've been assigned is over agriculture. And it doesn't matter whether we have cows here or not. We still have agriculture budget that we need to take care of to maintain the infrastructure of our ranch, which would be our fences and gates and cattle guards and weed abatement, and crop management if we put any crops in, whatever. Those things are going to be, they have been and will continue to be a need, irregardless of who sits in this chair on the board over that individual thing. It's worked out well for the ranch that I was elected to the board and put over agriculture, because now hand in hand and with the volunteer support of the cow contractor, since 2016, I've been working to enhance our budget in all of the areas that the agriculture covers. That I could come up with, and before me, I'd never seen a list. When I was put over agriculture, I never had been given a list of what your responsibilities are other than you're over agriculture. Good luck. Have a good time. But I've divided it into six areas that I've come, and I'm happy to add more areas if there's other areas that people have over agriculture. But the six areas that I've came up with are our erosion control, crop management, fences, gates, cattle guards, weed abatement, water projects having to do with livestock and wildlife, and the restoration of headquarters. What I've noticed is I researched when I first came on, I went back through the budgets for agriculture, and what I found out that not one year I could find where they budgeted, let's just say $10,000, they budgeted $10,000 for agriculture, and that at the end of the year they spend it. And so year after year,
spend it on other things.
Yeah, it wasn't spent in agriculture. So agriculture didn't spend. We said, okay, we're gonna allot X amount of dollars to agriculture, and year after year after year after year. Well, you've seen today, we decided, hey, let's not spend anything. And there's reasons, I'm sure, some of those times that it didn't happen. Some might be they just didn't know what six areas they should be looking at and trying to work on. Some might have had a
emergency or whatever and said, hey, we can't spend the money that we wanted to do a fence. We need to put in a septic tank now in one of the cabins or whatever. But whatever the reason, never, I could not find one single year where the money that was set aside for agriculture ended up in agriculture. And you can drive around and you can see the age of our corrals and our fences and other things, and you can see where there hasn't been a consistent plan put in place to keep our ranch up to speed. And so going forward, no matter who sits in this seat, I would like the membership to know that that's a really good way that you as a member can evaluate how the guys that are sitting on this table are spending your money, is at the end of the year, you look and see what their budget was, and then you look and see what they spend on it, and then you need to ask the question, why didn't you spend the money that we budgeted for the roads or for agriculture or for cabins or whatever? Is there a reason for it, or is it just it got pulled away from the cabins? Because if you neglect the cabins for 30 years without putting the money that we budget into the cabins, they're going to be bad. The same thing with agriculture and the same thing with roads. And so moving forward, it's critical that we have transparency in our numbers and that people know what to look for and what should be done. They wanted me to kind of explain what I found. And so I first of all, contacted our county, our local county extension agent, and had him meet me out at the ranch. And I took notes and pictures, and we drove all around our ranch and did a ranch tour. And he identified to me the weeds and the problems and what should be happening. And then I contacted the National Conservation Services and had them come out. And through their education to me, I developed a plan of problems that the ranch has that we need to be start moving forward on. And people haven't known exactly what that is because mainly they haven't really cared, but apparently now everybody's been concerned about it or cares about it. And so what I propose is that all individual projects, maybe we get Vance to put on our website or at least put a link to, and then I'll send these to Vance. And so if you're wondering what's going on in agriculture and you want to know about the water project, you can go to see what we're doing here. And here's some pump station and some water troughs and water lines in certain areas. And you can find out what it is and why. If you want to know what weed abatement areas we're doing, here's a color-coordinated map of the ranch and the lower areas where we're going to attack the rabbit brush and weed abatement. We need to add something. This isn't conclusive. These are just the first ones that I've identified. I noticed when I was out in Podunk getting those black cows last year that Podunk is becoming way, way infected with thistle. And the problem with that is most of Podunk is private except for the ranch. We commonly own two lots. Just one lot. So we have 20 acres of 20 lots. How many is in Podunk?
27.
So we commonly own 1/27th of Podunk, but the rest is all privately owned. And a lot of those thistle are on private property. And so we need to have work together with members who are willing and want to get rid of thistle off of their property, because it almost does you no good to get rid of thistle. It's like dandelions, and then your neighbors on both sides have dandelions, and it just goes back and forth. But thistle, the areas that we have thistle, I've noticed that on the airport, a lot of thistle is coming in. There's some thistle up in the upper meadow, and that's all of our common areas, and those things need to be put on an agricultural plan and then systematically have money go toward controlling and working after those things. So this isn't by any way, shape, conclusive, and I'm happy to take input from any member over any of these six areas that I've identified as my responsibilities or as the guy who sits in this chair's responsibilities. And if they come up with any other areas of that, I'll add the areas of responsibility to.
because this is kind of a learning curve. It was a learning curve for me, and I think the problem the ranch has gotten to where it is because you could be from downtown San Francisco and be elected to the board, and they put you over agriculture, and you don't really know what exactly you should be doing. It's not that you're not willing to do it, but you don't know what you should be doing in order to make these improvements. This is the plan that I had come up with, and this is how I got it. Now let's switch back to...
I have a question. Money that you get from agriculture, is that just for common area, or is that for the whole ranch?
Agriculture?
Yeah,
it could go into a private area in different things, like the fences that go around there or something like that. Even though it's private property going in there, we could push money into certain areas.
But the exterior, yeah. That's part of the program. Is
everything is flexible on that. If we have a BLM border, then we've been able to procure fencing from the BLM at zero cost to us, but we have to use that fencing material on the BLM fence, which would be a BLM border over where you are. I'm pretty much all the way around there is BLM. I don't think we have a neighbor. It's an island, isn't it?
Yeah,
private property. Podunk is an island.
No, you got Brinkerhoff on part of.
Brinkerhoff's are on the east of Podunk.
In the east. But see, you had mentioned that most of the private ground in Podunk, and getting the members to be part of taking care of the thistle problem, because we do definitely have a thistle problem that we need to pay for that. But we've got the cows that are coming and grazing on that, and so the expense on that wouldn't have to be taken out of the agricultural. Where the cattle are grazing, and I'm not talking just Podunk. I'm talking, is that budget just for common area or for private also?
I feel like personally, it's kind of a moving target with each individual project. It might be, no, that's 100% the members' responsibility, or it might be somewhere where it's ranches' benefit to be able to help the member to get rid of the thistle, because. We do have 20 acres. We could go to spray, take care of our own 20 acres. But what I'm thinking more as a co-op, if other people are involved, we might be able to get some labor out there to take care of it if they pay for the chemical on their own properties and then use the ranch equipment to do the spraying to get rid of some of the thistle and stuff like that. That's kind of the whatever's fair. We can't be unfair to the membership for any individual ranch owner. So it has to be fair to the membership, by and large.
Well, this question is for everybody. It's not just for Podunk or anything. That's why I asked the common area, but it's open to that. And if there's a solution, we can, because we do have a problem out there. I'm sure that we could probably get members over there that might. I don't know. Do you have this on your lot, Cindy? The front part. Yeah, because it's really bad right through there. So, but yeah, the cows graze on it, and so, you know, that's kind of what I was wondering if that would be.
I know that in personally, because of my knowledge, in Doug Hunt's plan, he never really plans on, although it's allowed to go up through there, it's within the boundaries. He never plans to, well, I'm going to put cows into Podunk for X amount of months or whatever. Mostly the cows are coming encroaching because of the poor fences, and they're black. As a matter of fact, every cow I got out of there was all somebody else.
Well, we got pictures of longhorns last year, big time.
Yeah.
So, and I know that there's some of the others because we've talked to that, and Hamblin's been awesome. He said he'd come whenever we'd see it. He'd come and do it, but I'm wondering if we can put some kind of a co-op. I was talking to a rancher, and he said maybe you could get the Hamblin's, the Fevers, and Brinkerhoff, and the Hunts, and Deer Springs Ranch to come in and fix these dams because we need to get them fixed.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a possibility.
There's a plan already involved there with as far as responsibilities go there, but this has been the same topic that we talked about. We got fencing material already. Matter of fact, the one that you moved was specifically we were going to work on fences out there, but it needs to be a co-op. I mean, we got the
material we got here, and then we didn't put up any fences out there. There needs to be, if it's private property, you need to help fence your own sections.
Yeah, I understand that. We're talking exterior. We're not talking individual lots.
No, I'm talking about exterior, because the one side of your, it's an island, so except for where we have another private property border, so it's around the rest of the Podunk area, it's going to be private on one side. Somebody's going to own that. If it's not the ranch, then it's a private owner. So we can't put a ton of everybody's money into putting a fence on up on a private owner's ranch. You see what I'm saying?
Do you have other property parts of the ranch that the cows are getting in and trampling whatever they've got, water lines and that? Are we the only ones that have issues out there? No, Edmund, you guys have any issues there? I just wondered, you know, if it's something that we can work together with other cow owners.
I don't know. I know this has been a board topic over and over and over and over again as far as your own lot. If I don't want the cows on my lot, I fence it out. And so individual lots, you're required to fence the cows out in that, which is also the law, but it makes sense. And so you put up the fence, and hopefully we work together. I'm not trying to enemy to anybody.
I don't own a specific lot that this is filed. So that's not, I'm not asking for me. I'm asking for the members. So, yeah.
Bob, Bob Hedman, is your entire lot fenced? Just the south? Because I thought, I just lost my train of thought. Who was the guy you bought from? Duvall. I thought Duvall had completely fenced that lot, but I. Linden Bison, yeah.
And.
Yeah, that's another
thing.
Over at 15
and older, so. And so, and you can talk to, you can, you know, we don't want to make enemies at any time of any of our members, in between board members, in between contractors. We want to try to work together to help everybody, but it's just not solely ranch money's responsibility to take care of every problem. So we want to be fiscally responsible with the money that you guys pay for your allotments that we spend back out, and it needs to benefit the whole ranch. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't. But
when you say benefit the whole ranch, to clarify, that's us collectively as an association. Every private lot, if they want the cattle off, they have to fence it to fence out the cows.
I fence off my lot so I can keep the cows off there if I want. So, and you can come over to my lot and you can see the kind of fence that I put in, and I don't have any cows going through that fence. But if you put, you know, picket fence in or whatever, you know, a lot of times the cows are the secondary offender. The
deer, elk.
Deer are the original fence pounder, and then they kind of make it a low spot or a weak spot, and then the cows begin to follow suit if they need to go there or if they want to go there. I talked with Dale yesterday, and he told me about a place where the cows are going through, and that's definitely the cows had gone through this guy's lot.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 things. One is the fence that was there originally isn't really a great cow fence. And the other thing is it only goes so far so they can go around it anyway. And so it doesn't, even when you fix that fence, but I went and looked at it, and just because you talked to me about it, I'm 100% willing to go fix any portion of that fence right there, you know, and I think that's reasonable. I don't think it's going to stop the cows, but we can at least fix that back up. I had a couple ideas where we could maybe get water from the pond down below, and so that would stop the need for cows going up. If we put any of these water troughs in that are on the plan, then that would stop the need for cows going into that pond to water and give them, you know, other avenues or things that are, you know, choices they can go to. But I'm, is that your question? Is that your statement? Did you clarify?
Any other comments or questions for Brad on livestock stuff?
Just that the only point, and this is just, it's all communication, and it's not pointing fingers, it's not bad, it's just you need to doing things like your plan, which is separate and from the lease, you're on the board, you're separate. We need to make sure that we're not spending money that the leaseor's responsibility. And, you know, there's a clause in the lease that, listen on that side color, there's a clause in the lease that promotes a discussion between the ranch and the areas in question whenever you have something that comes up where the ranch needs to have a say in it, then you guys, then, you know, it's worked out between Doug and Alex. That's the only interjection that I can put
in. That's why I wrote such a long portion of the newsletter. I tried to address that specifically because there's confusion. If you don't, it would be nice to have somebody who would come in and pay us to lease the ground and then rebuild everything on top of that. But it's not. It's not somebody, nobody will be willing to do that, number one. And I really think it is miscommunication and a lack of understanding, because if we put this gate up over here, see the red gate that's right there? If we put that red gate up here, you could say, well, that's to keep the cows out. We should have the cow guy pay for that red gate. But when his lease is up, does he unhook the red gate and haul it off?
That's not the issue.
It has been. It has been, though, and that's what I'm pointing out.
What I'm saying is that there should be a discussion, because there's a clause in the lease that we have a discussion that, all right, we need to put up a red gate. Sure, that's the ranch's red gate, so we'll pay for it. You're going to help put it up, or if you keep the cows out, we'll pay for it. Will you mind putting it up for them? That kind of compromise. You know, who's going to pay for it? Who's going to do it? You know, there's always a solution, and I'm willing to put in 100% to support any efforts on both sides.
My personal frustration is because I see both sides of the things that have happened here. we had a previous contract with Doug Hunt where he was paying $10,000, and we upped it to $12,000 a year. If we would take $2,000 every year, and we would replace certain fences, and for 4 years, that didn't happen, but we took his $12,000, and then he settled that with Barry when they negotiated a new contract, and he forgave the $8,000, even though it was written in his contract that they would pay him back the $2,000 if they didn't put the fences in, which they didn't. And so it's a little bit frustrating. And then I talk about the gate over there because that's a real thing. They question me on buying, putting the gate in, whether or not the cow should pay for that gate.
Right.
And not only no, but hell no, it's not the cow's gate, it's the ranch's gate.
And
so if you want to micromanage every little gate that goes in, then you got the wrong guy in this job.
It's not a micromanaging issue with the different things. And I think that a lot of people take automatic wrong slant towards the cattle lease, and which is wrong, but it's just also, why is there any question about it? That's the issue that I'm trying to get it to you, because nobody's thinking, accusing of any wrongdoing, it's just understanding. That's all.
That's the history of the agriculture as it's been, and that's where we are, and then up to this point. So now let's get into the contractor, because now the contractor, since 2016, I've been working to get additional funds because we have X amount of dollars. I want to point this out because I said it multiple times on two meetings ago, and I wasn't at last meeting to approve the minutes, and I didn't see it in the minutes when it came out. But this is critical, and I want it in the minutes. And Mariah, would you please make sure that this is posted on the written minutes as well as on the recording? Because never, ever have we went over our budget for agriculture, and never, ever are we planning on anything that we're doing on spending more than we have allowed ourselves for agriculture purposes. My point is simply that I fight for, if you're going to budget money for agriculture, spend it on agriculture. Unless there's a need like coronavirus, and then back off. And when that need goes away, then do what you can. Do as many of those things as you can. And with Doug now, I don't even know. I don't even remember what our budget is, but it's around 10 grand, isn't it, Barry? Something like that. With Doug now, in the next 3 years, I anticipate at least 50 grand coming into these areas that we specified through Doug Hunt, paying for 50 grand. And it might not go, let's use an example that's real. We purchased some water troughs in anticipation of putting in permanent water structures instead of just having temporary water structures and capitalizing on the need to use our water that we have up in Half Moon Reservoir. And then there was a lot of, well, why did we spend that much money on water troughs, you know? The reason we did is because we're anticipating moving forward in all of these projects in these areas. And I know the only reason I bid the water areas is that I knew that I could get far more back. We'll have paid for those water troughs, you know, 10 times over before this is all done with money that comes into the ranch. And maybe people don't understand that, and so that confuses them. And so that's why I wanted to forget about the cattle contract. Let's just talk about, these are our responsibilities as agriculture managers for Deer Springs Ranch. When I'm out of this job, it's going to be Bob Hedman's responsibility right here. It's time for him to step up, and he's going to be over these six areas to improve these six areas. And he needs to have a plan and to get after and work at it and stay within, which we're always going to do, within the budgeted money that we spent. Now, if we have the Tooth Fairy come along and say, hey, I'm going to get you $50,000 more for agriculture, you can't use it for roads or whatever, then that's just a huge blessing to the ranch as far as that is concerned.
And the ranch needs to have, and it's developing as now, the function of cabin, which, you know, we've painstakingly gone over cabin
exactly.
And cabin three, and we've split it out, look at all of our expenses and everything like that, and it's not all stuff that we want to look at, but we have to look at, and if our agriculture budget exceeds our revenue from agriculture, then there's a problem, and that's why we need the communication so that we can apply this to the whole ranch picture instead of just a budget that's based on livestock.
That's true, and but that's a hypothetical because the agriculture budget has never exceeded its budget.
Well, it was $11,500 last year. I don't know that it was spent. I'm just saying. You got $12,000 coming in on cattle. You got $11,500 budgeted to livestock, and it's like, where are we coming out ahead here? Hopefully,
I see what I see.
The improvements in the ranch, and it's just the picture, Brad. It's communication. That's all it is. It's just helping us understand.
Livestock brings in more money than the ranch does. Livestock's only a portion of the
agriculture. Oh, sure. I'm not.
You said livestock.
Yeah, I know I did. I said livestock. But we also say wildlife, and we don't do anything for wildlife. Wildlife benefits from livestock.
Right.
So that's just.
But you're saying
The benefit is for the ranch is, and this is, I guess, another pretty good point, maybe even should be notated on the regular written minutes, is the benefit for the ranch is the improvements we do improve all of our infrastructure of the ranch, which we own. You own that. You own these fences and these cabins. When you improve these things, then it improves the value of your asset. The contractor, he's only leasing, and he doesn't own any of it. There's no monetary value there for him to be able to do any of these projects that are done. There's a
The long term lease is the benefit. If you know, a 10-year lease is a piece of real estate. There is a tangible advantage to having it. No, short term, year to year lease, I get.
You misunderstand what I said, or I misunderstand what you said.
Yeah, maybe it's.
What I'm saying is that all of the projects that you'll look through here and identify won't make the cattle contractor a dollar more. This ranch is perfectly able, as it sits and it's dilapidated, don't do another fence, don't fix another thing, run him out through the rest of his contract. He doesn't need any of these improvements to have happen. It's a benefit to the ranch and the members and the owners to have it happen, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. I have a folder this thick. I'm not kidding you. It's this thick of all my correspondence back and forth and all of the plans since 2016 trying to get extra money to come into the ranch, and I feel like that nobody appreciates the value that we're trying to add to the ranch, or they don't understand it, because to me it seems as simple as Dale saying, I want to donate $50,000 to the ranch, but I want to be able to control where the 50 go. I'm not just giving you 50. I want to control where it goes through. It has to go into things that I approve. And I'm all for that. Thank you very much. But some people will say, well, I don't know. If we can't decide exactly how we're going to do it, then I don't want to support that that.
And that's a valid point. And Dale in his own words, asking for a plan. He wants a plan on how that money. He has areas that he wants some of that money to go to, but he wants a plan. He wants a plan to follow. Right? So, BLM deal requires a plan. You have the plan. You're the one with the plan.
The plan, you might not remember, but I passed it all out to every single board member.
I never got it. It was before me.
Yeah, it was before you.
I don't mean.
But I passed it all out, and then nobody took any. And so then I carried it in, blah, blah, blah.
Larry and I had a conversation about that, and he said, yeah. He said, but
if you have any questions.
Unfortunately, something else was going on that was precedent, and you were kind of put to the back seat, and that's frustrating.
But I always have said, if you have a question about it, come and talk to me, and I'll tell you what it is and what's going on. So that's why here's individually items that if you want to put the fence up there, I want to add that to it, exactly where on Podunk. If you get on there and send that to me, if you have other needs, if you have thistle on there, it's all agricultural budget. Whether we only have so much money, we can only do so much. But if we do certain things in teamwork with Doug, in specific ways, we can't just go out on ourselves and do things. We have to follow the plan. The water systems had to be engineered. So far, we spent $1,700 on engineers. So we had a plan so we could get money back. And so if we do this, we're going to have a whole bunch more money, you know, 5 years' worth of budgets rolling into Deer Springs Ranch that's in addition to what we've done, which is just simply a huge win for us, and I apologize if I'm a poor communicator, and I can't explain that in a way that people understand it, but the cowboys that I talk to, or, you know, that deal with agriculture things, you know, it's pretty cut and dry, simple, logical plan.
On the earth. Deliberately made the water grow. It was going to the fence. It was fixed for money or cut off the right places. And I think it can still be. This one fell out of place last year is that area, 10 acres, people only area. Probably I know your contract makes it people only for 3 or 4 months. But it should be people only area year round.
I don't have a problem with that. We just need to honor the contract that it is and then make the change when we have to. But I don't think that Doug's unwilling to try to keep the cows out of it. But I remember one meeting, it might have been the, anyway, I know this is a hot point for you. And it was last fall. So I left the meeting and then when I went up there, the gate is wide open. Yeah, the gate is wide open.
They don't
let me put.
Members serve and need to have a little park area for the kids.
I agree.
Maybe the board needs to authorize another cattle park.
I agree.
That's going to be a big issue.
I need a little education because of what you said. I realize that we're talking about different things. From the cattle guard going into the bottom of the meadow is where I was talking about. That's the gate that's left open. And he's totally happy keeping the cows out of there. Above that cattle guard, clear down the road to where the other cattle guard comes in and having that whole area. But am I understanding you say that there's a fence around the pond area specifically? Well, we maybe could take a look at exactly. I need to go see, because as far as my experience has been, they can flow up and down from cattle guard up and going into the bottom of the meadow. They can be over on that side, and something's not working in those fences. Maybe we can improve some things and then have a double layer of protection, especially during our high-volume months. And maybe we can funnel some of our agriculture money if coronavirus gets back up off that into improving some of those fences.
For example, outside the cattle guard and a gate. Again, the fish on here.
Yes.
On the west side, there's a gate. The rest of this fence may need to be repaired some, but the members say no cows in that 10 acres.
Brad, is that the gate you and I were talking about yesterday? Or is that different?
No, I'm talking about the gate coming out of the meadow.
Okay, so you're further down.
No, further up, and he's
further
talking
up.
About right there.
Right at the pond.
So apparently there's been a fence put around the pond area, and if we fix that, we'd have double securement. So we try to keep the cows above into the meadow and not even come down into that area, and below not even be able to come up. But truthfully, there used to be a gate on Meadow Canyon Road, Dale. I don't know. I wasn't part of the board that decided to put the cattle guard in. The cattle guard's way more convenient. But if they really want to, the cattle guard's not sufficient. You can hop over that cattle guard, and so can the cows. Yeah, that's the gate he's talking about.
I'll concentrate on that 10 acres. Understand, I think, communicate what should happen.
Yeah.
Not.
We were there yesterday, and that would be cool to have a baseball diamond right there in that. So families could come and play softball right out in that flat area. Yeah, on this side of that, you could have the home plate, and then right field be over to the volleyball net, and have that be a perfect softball field for families to come and play softball in there. I don't think there's any problems. It's just the differences is the man hours and costs and what we're already contracted to do. But I think Doug's on the same page
as you are, except for you. Sounds like you don't want them in there at all, ever. And right now, after everybody, the slow period peaks off, then he can bring the cows in and graze that out as he leaves. But that could be negotiated with him, or we could ask him if he'd be flexible on that or change it.
Should have some places that keep them. When we change the full rent from a cow coming up to a people coming up, that changes the guideline. We're violating those guidelines.
And I think you're correct. Because we currently have a contract to allow cows in there at certain times. And I'm not against making that whole pond area right there just a home pavilion, a softball place, have better fences, picnics, and fishing and family reunion. Personally, I can't speak for him without asking him directly, but I wouldn't think that Doug would have a problem with that either.
Should be a mowed playground. I think members would vote for that. We need some areas that just for.
So, am I hearing you adding another number seven to my list of responsibilities here?
You don't have people on there yet.
So, whose responsibility is that, President?
Common ground.
For what?
Common area.
Oh, it never has
time. No, just common area. That way it's. Yeah, it does.
But
on that.
Yeah. Are you listening, Bob?
And, you know, I'm going to say in the last year there's been a lot of talk about the pond area. And, you know, all along if we'd have had better communication, Brad's on the same, we're all on the same side. We're all sitting here worrying about nothing over nothing. And
we're watching everybody's back because when I went up there, I'm talking about the fence at the meadow, blocking off the cattle guard. So after the meeting, I went up there and that was down. It was not broken, but the fence was open. So somebody opened the fence, and the cows, I tell them to stay out of the pond area, and I tell them, but they just don't listen to me.
I tell them too.
They don't listen to anybody.
And the fence was wide open. At one meeting, there were problems with the cows, and I drove out to Podunk, and there was 25 head of black cows out in Podunk. And I went and drove them out of there, and I'm thinking, okay, we're going to get to the end there, and now I've got these cows I'm pushing in front of me. Now I got to get around and open the gate, and then I got to go back and get the cows and get them through and get them out of Podunk while I'm there. And when I got there, the cows just went right through an open gate. And so
we've got a problem with somebody opening it.
We have to watch.
It's not the members.
Yeah. We have to watch. And so when you come, the problem is the best rule of never getting in trouble with any gate is always leave it just like you found it. But as soon as somebody breaks that rule, then nobody knows what to do because now you don't know how you should. Should that be an open gate?
You know,
should that be a closed gate? So the rule really has to be you got to leave it how it's found it. But maybe you could tell Kurt, and then we could coordinate with Kurt, and he could know enough about the cattle movements and what should happen. But I think we go to work and work on that.
I have a solution. This is Karen Fry. I have a solution. Why don't
Karen, hang on just a second. Somebody's trying to talk. No, go ahead. I just told her to hold on.
No, I was just saying, where the gate happens, others going back to the cabin, where you've got water issues, where they don't have water where they're at, and they need to literally choke the cow to death. Like, close the gate that should have been open. And nobody knows what gate the open close, and that's quite a standing rule. But, like a garnish, if we put a sign on the gates that say, "Keep gate as you found it," or open close, that might help. I don't know.
I tried to get the BLM to do that. But they,
that's sure. always, I mean,
they laugh.
I mean, you leave a gate, you know, I mean, I've been out in the wilderness in Arizona, and everybody knows that you leave a gate the way you find it.
The last guy made a mistake. Guy does too.
Yeah, exactly, and that's that's the challenge. They're like,
let's get the comment on Karen's on.
Okay, we're done.
No, Karen.
Karen,
go
ahead.
If the gate is supposed to be closed, my suggestion is just to get a sign that says, "Please close the gate." I mean,
if we
keep that gate closed. But, I mean, if we don't do it, then we won't know if it will work. But I would think that that would work.
We're just going to have to monitor the gate a lot closer. We have a path to make sure we have a communication between the cattle operator and the property management here so that the people that have been driving back and forth, see the gate is open, the gate is closed based on what the operator, cattle operator, between that gate out here. Boundary line fence. It should always be closed, period. But
where?
Who was talking about? If you were driving cattle out there, get the black cows off of our property, that gate should never be closed. Boundary line fence.
Yeah, I agree with that. I can't see any reason why that gate should be left open at any time. And
I don't understand how the cows are getting over there, the black ones. And my sister, she has that property line right there. She went right past them. I think it was the Brinkerhoffs, but they were there with their cow. She left, came back not 15 minutes later, and the gate was down. So was the owner. So we know that somebody's opening them to let them go in. So that's why I had mentioned to Brad that we need to get us all together and get this worked out, because there's definitely a problem. And that's part of the communication problem that we've had. We just get told, fence your own lot. No, there's more to this than that. We've got a problem here that we need to address.
Well, unless there's something urgent, let's make a couple of decisions and move on.
Okay.
Number one, it's been proposed, and I think it's a good idea, but it has to be run by Doug, and I'm asking Brad to run this by Doug. Is that we, not from the meadow fence down all the way in that area, but we close off the fish pond area to cattle in the smaller area. It's not very big. Say it's about 10 acres.
About 10.
That we, for immediate future, that we go ahead and close that out and look at keeping that that area is too big and keep that. Separate and run that by Doug, and we'll have to just make that decision, make it happen. And then I like Kathy's idea of at some point in time coordinating, and I don't know if we need to set it up or if Doug needs to set it up. We need to have a meeting with a representative of Deer Springs, cattle lessor or lessees, and the neighbors, see if we can't come to a cooperation or some type of agreement to work on some of our boundary line fences with everybody involved.
That's
not only to share the cost, but to share some of the labor.
It's actually been pre-assigned by the BLM because it's BLM back in there. The only place that it isn't assigned is on private property. So they have sections of fence because our cattle allotment between the neighbors goes from Lick Wash up across the road, and then it leaves Lick Wash and heads northbound and then heads back up on the other side of that big hill and then drops down into where we come into Podunk from the road and comes down along there. And it runs up to his area, you know, the neighbor that way. Jonesy's up there. And then runs back along there. What I've always been told, what I didn't understand is it's after there that a lot of those black cows are coming in. And Lick Wash, number one, takes out a fence every year. And so that would be really kind of us up there trying to keep cows out of Lick Wash, not necessarily, you know, the other guys. And they have sections that are, I have the map, they're color-coded, saying these guys are responsible for this section, these guys are responsible for this section, Deer Springs is responsible for this section. And so I didn't get it till last year, but it's actually been divided among them. But we tried on their sections that they have problem. We've tried to, we've put some man hours helping them on their boundaries. I think that they might be willing or open-minded to do the same thing on ours, on the other side a little bit. But I agree.
I just think once a year, well, everybody ought to get together. There's no accountability, and there's no, and whether they're keeping up their specs or not, or how we contact them if they aren't. It's just better if we set something up and give it to the neighbors.
I agree.
Say, hey, how's it going? This is when we work on our social plan on it. It shouldn't take much more than about 45 minutes to an hour once a year to have that meeting.
Yearly, that's basic.
I didn't like
that. He said, how do you spell annually? That's yearly.
All right, anything else for agriculture?
Yeah, just the last point.
All right.
I didn't finish it. And maybe I did, and I can't remember. It's so long ago. I just wanted to clarify that all of these projects that we do are mutually beneficial. It's better for him to have better fences and grass. You know, it's better for the ranch to have better fences and grass. It's mutually beneficial. But financially, he doesn't need any of projects to be completed for him to finish his contract out here and be done with Deer Springs Plant. Everything, it can run just how it is. And I think that sometimes we lose track of that and think, well, oh, it's his cows, let's get him to pay. Well, it's not going to make him $1 more. Telling us the tax rate that he's ran for all these years that he's been here. Then if it picks up, it's going to be happier. Land's going to be happier. There's a problem with, and on the fencing area, the problem with not in fences and is when you can't control the amount of animals on a certain piece of property at a certain piece of time, then you can't manage it. In our whole ranch, a cow can walk from one end of our ranch to the other. And there's places that they can get through. And so what we're trying to do is blocking them from this at the negotiation of your contract. We finished that, and we were able to block off one area where a cow can't get through from here to over there. But they can get through from here clear up to the meadow and back and forth. And not only our cows, the neighbor's cows, the flat cows that come in and get through. So the reason for fences is so the land can be responsibly managed through rotation by putting in the fences. And then when we began to put in a fence where cows could walk through all this historically for the whole time, then that's when Mike said, hey, you can't put a fence down here because I like to ride through there too. And so then we got into the gate issue. But just wanted to clarify that, probably clear as mud, but it's hot. And I'm done with this seat.
All right. What's next on the agenda? I don't
have one. Okay. Just smile. So just a quick thought, because Brent actually made a great comment the other day. And
Brent made a great comment. Get that in the notes.
Yeah, he made a worthy comment. And that is, you know, with the management of dollars and comparing things and you know, look at it, it's going to take us all a little bit of time to get different. But it's information that we can all use and it's beneficial to everybody. And it just helps us, empowers us to make better decisions by knowing where our dollars are going and what, and there's missing dollars that we don't think about, but we know where it's going. And so the spreadsheet's going to take a time. Monday, Mariah and I will be finalizing, and then all the spreadsheets will be up on Google. So it'll be accessible by everybody. Marnie and her daughter yesterday, they've adopted the garden cabin, and they came in and spent the entire day walking walls, baseboards, donated blankets. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
garden is going to be going in by next weekend. We got fence posts, trenching is done. We're going to till it some more, and then we're going to start making our area where we're going to be planting different things. Right now, I've got a ton of pepper plants, tomato plants, and then there's a lot of stuff that is direct seed, like corn and stuff. So next Saturday, I think we're going to start planting. We should be over the danger of frost by then. And store is work in progress, almost done. But it's going to have a lot of variety, and my goal is to get it open by next weekend. So.
Somebody asked me yesterday if we're going to have ice available.
If they can come up with an ice maker, I'll make it. But if it needs me running back and forth to town for ice, I'll.
I told him
about $12 a bag.
I just said right now with the cabins not even being used, that's kind of a cabin user item. I don't think they're going to stock ice for lot owners.
I mean, if I could figure out, and I could figure out to get an ice freezer, but then you got to figure out how to run it. So I don't know what's historically been done.
You usually have a little freezer right now. They sell at a higher rate.
I can do that. That's easy.
All right. Anything else?
If I run out of ice, then I'll just give some frozen blocks a Longhorn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Mariah?
Yeah.
Would you like to, we're jumping back to get an office report for you. I don't know if we've covered the items you have or if you have any additional stuff from the office, but the time is yours.
Well, thank you. I don't have anything additional. I just had the information on the cabin reservations and the number of members who are authorized to be water hauling from headquarters. So unless there's any questions, I didn't have anything else.
Any questions as the, from the membership of Mariah?
I don't think I paid my water hauling.
Brad wants to know if he hasn't hauled paid his
my
water hauling.
Bob's got my cash. Collect the Bob.
He says, is it easier to process by credit card or check?
Either way is just fine. I can take a credit card right now if you want. Anyone want
to
write it down for me?
For avocados.
Record. All right. Moving right along. So next on the list is Cabin 7, Kathy.
Cabin 7, we are, I know this has been a long time coming, but we are just about finished. There's one door that needs to be built. I guess we're ready for renting it out, but there is one thing that needs to be completed before we do that because of liability, and we need to put that back porch and the pickup in the, on the front.
As soon as I get cabin three open, then I'm on that.
So we need to do that because we've got blocks where you walk in, but when we were coming in with our hands full, it rolled on us. It is kind of liable. So, but the clarification that we're talking here is when we started cabin seven, we had, was trying to put it out there to get members to step up and the owners, come and help. And we just didn't get the help that we needed. So we offered, free cabin time. And, for 16 hours of work, cabin time. So anyway, that was put out there. There was probably, we had several people that helped and we really appreciated the help that we received. But there was probably about six, you know, between four and six people that was on a regular basis. And so we put that down, saved their hours, put it up there. We got pretty much the cabins completed. I stayed within the budget. We had a budget of $10,000. So we, it was, I guess, closer to $11,000. Anyway, we stayed within the budget. Then I came home from, I wasn't able to attend the meeting last week, that month. So I came home and listened to Miss, I know, but this is a thing I took a lot of pride in, and trying to say I had friends that were watching for me to make sure that we got, you know, maybe even used items to stay within the budget. And then I saw that they put up expenses for $21,000. And I had a real problem. Because, for one, we got the members to step up to help. And we did offer that. It was a mutual agreement with the board. And now when we're talking expenses, it's $21,000 when actually it was $11,000. I know that they're using this number for helping over here on Cabin 6, but they're still using that number for the expense. And to me, it wasn't. The majority of people that have got their hours that accumulated, they're not going to be able to use, for one, because of the coronavirus and that situation. But there's several that don't even intend to use this. But because we offered the certificate, they're saying that's an expense, and they're going to charge put that down as an expense. And I just have a real issue with that, and I just wanted to clarify. When you see those numbers, and I'd like to have it changed, but if you see those numbers, I think it needs to be clarified differently, because it was not an expense, nor is it going to be that expense, because there's several people that are not going to be using cabin time, and they volunteered their time. So I just want that clarified, because it's kind of a fictitious number, even though those certificates were done up. There's several that have no intentions of using them.
So the actual cost out of pocket of Cabin 7 was under $11,000.
Mariah, was that correct? It was.
The actual materials expense was $11,882.
Okay, and that was right close to our budget.
Oh, but I'm sorry. The caveat is that's 2018 and 2019 combined.
Yeah. So we just want to reflect in the meeting minutes today what the actual cost and everything all together, what the cost was. The rest, anything over and above that $11,800 was donations. We're just tracking it to be able to evaluate what it really costs to do some of these projects. That's not money we paid. That's not money that came out of the budget. That was volunteered by people spending time and helping us put the cabin renovation together, right?
Right. Well, when they're putting the budget numbers together, Kurt, you've got that down for $21,000 on Cabin 7.
No.
Correct?
Well, it's broken out.
And so that's the thing that I'm trying to is get the factual numbers, not a
well,
kind of a
you know,
number.
Kathy, it's a matter of how you look at factual numbers. And John made a really good point at our executive meeting where he said that if you have not traded out those numbers, then you would have had to pay somebody that $9,000. So what we're trying to do is establish what a real expense, what it would cost to replicate Cabin 7, or do we want to modify Cabin 7 next cabin. You know, this is information that empowers us to make intelligent decisions, and it's not an attack on anybody individual. It's how you are taking it.
Well, no, I'm trying to keep my numbers correct. Huh?
Well, it was a painful year.
Very.
Had to go to have that. Never since I've been here, anybody made an impact. That's impact. That's great value for all. Although it's painful, in whatever areas you want to hammer out, keep doing that, or at least less pain. Hallelujah. Both that we double her salaries.
Yeah, that'll do it. Let me tell you.
No, I mean, the cabin has been improved, and you know, if you
in a way like nobody ever else has,
and if you look at
Thank
the cost, no matter
the
how
numbers.
with the trade numbers in there, it's still cheap for what you got out of the deal. And you know, Kathy was very responsible with it, and she hit her budget. And you know, it's like I said at the executive meeting, you wanted to trade out to get some interest in helping out with the cabin. Great. The board approved. We're in this together. It's not just Kathy. It's everybody's in this together. Kathy's spearheading it. And now it's being looked at, and we can make good decisions for the next cabin. So it's a thank you and kudos to Kathy.
That's not what I'm looking for.
I don't know what you're looking for.
I think she's worried about being criticized, somebody reading the information incorrectly and saying, oh, well, Kathy spent 21 grand.
Yeah, they're looking at that.
And that's not the case. So I think she's just...
So, and Mariah and I had a conversation before the meeting today, and if you look at this report, it's going to show you something that I looked at and Mariah looked at. 2012 to 2019, it's income on cabin revenue, expenses on cabins, and what the actual revenue is, what the profit is on that. And if you look at this, it's all in the red. And there's a lot of questions about this. A lot of the information is cloudy. So that's why this information is being broken apart. And we are separating out now on the expense column where it says that cabin included in the expense column is $40,000. Well, that includes everything that cabin spent. That includes the trade. And so we're going to break all of that out. So you'll see exactly what Kathy actually spent and what the trade was. So it's separated out. And it gives you good information. And if you take all that stuff out of there, I mean, this shows us that we're negative $24,000 for 2019 when we're actually positive $5,000, which is the first time in all these years we're in the black on the cabin. Now we're trying to figure out, well, what do we do right? What happened that we're not in the black? Because if you take out the, I mean, you didn't have the revenue for cabin 7, you didn't have the revenue for cabin 3, you had the expenses for those. In regular reporting, that should all be taken out as special projects, and all of a sudden we're $5,000 in the black. What happened? Why? So that's what we're trying to figure out right now, breaking things out tighter. So we're separating out.
And I appreciate that because that was my biggest thing. I saw that $25,000 in the red. I'm going,
This is
not working.
Yeah, and that's
not working.
And I apologize.
Not just
for
me, but for those who donated so much time.
Oh, I know. And nobody's going to criticize the effort and how the cabin came out because it's the price cabin. So, and I told you last spring that you keep spearheading forward because you're going to keep. What's right is you're going to set an example, and we're going to want to go pick more cabins. And that's what we want to do. It did a great job. So I apologize if the numbers shocked. Now we're breaking them out better, and everybody will be able to see what you're doing.
Okay.
Kathy, you're also on the agenda for use of common property. I don't know.
Okay. I brought this up with the board. Before the last meeting, I was unable to attend. So, anyway, I selling lots out here, and Dell probably has the same thing. That when somebody buys a lot, they're going, well, golly, I don't have anything out here. Can you find builders? I need a shed. And, you know, I think that we need to try to open it up for some possibilities for people that when they buy a lot, they can get a shed very easily. Can't get contractors out here. I was approached by 5 or 6 people. You have a contractor. I can't get anybody out here. Nobody shows. So I contacted a company, and it was a Cumberland Building, and they had asked if I would be a distributor out here because we've got 300 lots. So but for them to have a distributor, they have to have an area to put. They wanted 6. Cabins, our little sheds. I said, no, we can't do that. But so they agreed to 4. And I know we've had some areas that have been used before. The place, they had a shed sitting there, I think 6 to 8 months last year or the year before. And we had several people inquiring about it. I know that we're having issues with revenue. And so I thought if there was, and it's going to take time. It takes time to put something together, but and there's very little bit of income on that. So I thought if we could put that on the, over there by the east of, I think it's northeast of the airstrip where people kind of stop where they had that before and put, you know, a few buildings up there people can look at. They, if interested, they can buy them, donate $50 at anything that's sold for income revenue, and see if we can help our members that are buying out there and those that, that have not been able to get people to come out. And I kind of wanted to put it out there for input from the members.
How do the members feel about what, correct me if I'm wrong, but what's been kind of proposed is with the Cumberland sheds or buildings is they would like a space enough up near the airstrip to put up four buildings, just as, kind of like a car lot or a place where people can view their models. And we're a little hesitant on the board to open up that possibility to one dealer without others. But it's your ranch. What do you think, members? Would that shaking your head? Tell us what you're thinking. Okay.
Well, the reason I brought that up is because we had a lot of people inquire about it and wanted to get one, and that's why I brought that up. And it did show a potential interest.
Is there a place or is there interest or anything for members of having a place where we can have exhibitors, so to speak, show what they have, or is there resistance to that? Any thoughts? Go ahead, Joe.
I look at it from this point of view. She does that. It's opening a small business for her. What's going to stop Brad if he wants to sell beef? What's going to happen if Brad wants to open up a GoPro? What's going to happen if somebody else wants to open up a fishing license and tutoring service? We do it for one, we open it for everybody. That's the only problem.
Well, let me address two things that I think of. I think that we're moving forward, and correct me if I'm wrong, Kurt, but those that provide services, we are going to provide them with a bulletin board somewhere where they can hang their card. It's different to advertise that I haul water or I do plumbing or I do something else. It's a little bit different between that and actually leasing them space or giving them space to put a building or a car or a combine or a four-wheeler or whatever. But I'm interested
well,
to know.
On the store above the second bench where it says the restroom sign, we have a restroom sign 2 feet from the restroom. I don't think we need it. But we also have a sign on the restroom. So that's going to go down, and we're going to put up a job board. And this is an area for people that need work done, what kind of work they need done, who to contact information. And then you also have on that board do work, who put up there, like if Jeff decides, he wants to do some kind of repairs or do windows or doors or something for people. He's going to put up there what he does and his contact. And so it's a job board. So we have some communication going from people that need, people that have.
Do any of the members object to that? Just so we have it out there. I think it's a good idea. I think it's an opportunity to provide a point of contact for people that need services and those that provide services.
Well, this is people that...
Call Larry.
Yeah.
Call Larry.
Everybody says call Larry.
Call Larry, yeah.
The distributor is in Hurricane. Because we're trying to open up for this area, you know, and then also it's bringing in a little bit of revenue into the ranch.
Property
know, not on the thing. Yeah. But they normally test grandchildren. So, people say, vote for us.
Well, I had an idea, and I think Brent and I kind of did not talk to each other prior, but we both emailed, and, you know, I was kind of contending the Cumberland thing, so, well, why don't we just take some association property, and, you know, if Brent wants to do a satellite or a, you know, solar company, then people come out here, they don't have an idea about solar. So if we have a small cabin we build, and we have solar attached to it, they can see a solar system. They can see a septic system. They can see a cabin. They can see the Cumberland sheds. You know, it just kind of opens that up, but then we can also do all that through a communication system. So,
as far as an eyesore, they're brand new buildings. They're very nice buildings. I mean, it's not like a, you know, broken down shed. So.
They're like the Linden building. Okay.
The idea of opening up the lot for sale. I don't want to have
Where they're proposing to put it, you're going to drive by them
every day.
Every day. Twice a day. We got I don't know about anybody else, but we don't want to see them every single day, twice a day, looking at these buildings. That's not what we're out here. We're just taking.
And I think that's a good point, because, you know, what is the general feeling? I know that most people don't want commercialization, and that's what we're trying to avoid. And so I'm trying to, you know, my thought on the communication board, the job board, is that we're exchanging information for people that need it. That is all. So.
Riggins and
Canada. It's a different. These ones we've all had approved for the snow loadout here, and so that was, you know, that was something that we kind of went through to make sure that we had the right snow loadout here, let people know that they were going to be protected that way.
Well, without further discussion, it doesn't sound like the memberships. Again, this is a very, very small portion of terribly fond of the idea. So let's continue and discuss a little bit further. I don't know if we can make a decision on today one way or the other. Any other comments before we move on? I think we're moving forward. Whether you like it or not, we're moving forward on that. We've already decided on that, and materials are in the process. So if you're unhappy about that, you can blame me and get mad at me, but I think communication is important, especially where we don't have phone service. You got to have a place where you can go for information. So,
what is worth about second?
All right.
Could that have a little hard bin slot? And
I thought about that. I'm just worried about the wind.
Yeah.
But on this corner over here, there will be room for hard. So, yes, the building lot. Kathy has a list in the kiosk right there, and that's going to actually be popped out at a 45-degree angle. We're going to put 2 trees on it, kind of into it. And there's going to be a little real estate corner in there.
Are they going to be able to open it up? Okay, I got 3 sheets. So,
well, your 3 sheets will fit in here. They can grab them. So I'm worried about wind.
Okay.
Is all I'm worried about. If we keep closed. Yes, sir. No, no. Other business cards. Job board. Everything like that. Absolutely. And I mean, it's like Jeff says, you know, you can't find a contractor, and it's probably just going to be Larry's cards in there.
I don't have cards.
on the ballot. Wherever you want them. It's all about mail.
Yeah. Right. That'll be in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I think we're running over time, and I think we've addressed everything on the agenda other than the areas of focus, but we've talked to everybody along the way. Unless, Larry, do you have anything to add in your area that we need to discuss? No. I don't either. Anything else from the board? It's getting hot. Mr. Mickelson.
Right.
Yes. Congratulations.
After trying 12 times, no. I'm not.
I did say dish. But as part of the possibility, we are users lower range.
Perfect. So you're going to send us a draft to review, and then once we review and approve it, then we can proceed with the printing and posting. Perfect. No reason why it couldn't be. And I think it should probably be included in the mail out before the annual meeting, just in case, because that's when we have members actually read stuff. And so be included there. Because we have to annually give certain training on cross and contamination and a bunch of other things that we have not necessarily been doing this to the extent we should, and we need to make sure that that's included. So I agree. I don't think we need a motion, but let's just get it done. Anything else from membership before we get over the sunburn? Brent!
Everybody relax, I only got three pages. We got rocks. All right. Now on when we have this meeting. That's not my question. Okay, I've been sitting here for several hours. All right. You guys make a decision, Kevin, do you want to focus on this app?
I think we're gonna. That's an internal decision. We just have to look at budget, but we need to move forward on all of them.
Okay.
All right. I did. When you sent out that message, I talked to Rick Willis. He said I do have the threaders and pipes, and I'm set up to do that. I'm interested in helping. But the next day was when you said Kurt's buddy.
Well, Kurt's got a friend. I do that.
Hey,
Kurt's got a friend.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I got two.
Kurt's got a friend coming on Monday afternoon.
Yeah, that's Justin McElfrain.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Well, see what he has.
See, Rick Willis is about as dependable as a heart attack. That's from personal experience. And I like Rick. He's a great plumber. But he would rather run shuttles for River Trip than do his job. So I went to Justin because Justin works for the same company, but he just works on the boats. He doesn't look at.
Well, here's the bottom line. That's an internal coordination. You guys coordinate and get it done. It has to be done. It's not like we can stop and say, never mind.
If you want to get two bids on it, I got no problem with that at all.
I don't
luck with that.
Yeah. Well, if he's got Rick Willis, you know,
no, I just said, hey, you still have your threader and everything to do pipe? He said, yeah, what are you doing? I said, well, but I told him what Dustin had said about our gas line situation. Said, yeah, let me know how I can help. And then the next day I saw your note about a friend. So, you know, whatever.
I think we get one number, we look at it. If we can make it work, then we just move forward.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, shut up.
He'll show up. I got his
by the way, when he was here, how much off or how much adjustment did you have to do to the pressure on the tanks?
Well, what we did is we adjusted the 7-7 up to 14. And that's essentially what that fundamental is called. 7-7 is not a real good example because. But now, Bridge has been running for days. But we went down to cabin 8, and we adjusted that one up also, the 14 inches of water pump. And I thought that that would fix the bridge problem, but it didn't. And that's when Dustin started looking at everything, and he says, oh, you know, you got trim sitting there. Every one of these things. So anyway, actually, honestly, I don't know. Increase the size of the line, pressure to what the fridge is. See, you guys got to remember, we got cabin one. We're going to have to take the fridge up there and stick it in there. And cabin one and cabin two, we had the real problems with that. And so they're going to be opening up pretty quick. Now I'm going to up the pressure of both of them. Justin showed me how, and he said it'd be okay if I did it. And we'll get the pressure up and clear up the problem in those two cabins. If I could answer that question directly, get a help.
What pressure of water columns in like the propane tank that you
have? I have no idea.
If one of them happened to be 15 inches, maybe run a large and just direct it and pipe it right into the fridge and see if that fixed it. So for sure that's the line.
Well, I think we're updating the line. The question is are we going to have to buy new fridges?
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Exactly.
That's the $14 million question. I think we do the adjustments to see how that goes. We place the line that we've talked about and have it, and then we go from there. There's no magic way to but that's the only problem.
I think we bought one and put it in a lot of water.
There's still one in here, but that's
that
would
be. It would be beneficial. It's a matter of.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
When we
put
it on a float, the overflow is going to fill it no matter what.
Cabin 8 is an old one. We have
to run a.
I fired that up in beginning of March. And
but now
Brad stayed in.
That's
there.
As long as they're
and,
from the other side of the fencing
with
that they're
it.
Talking
I think
about.
Stayed running
now,
for
correct?
Long time. And then I
so it would still pump
constantly.
And fill the tank if you lean it over, it would still soften.
Oh, Brad Pierce.
Oh,
Brad.
Is he shutting it on and off or just leaving it on?
Well, I'd just be leaving it on.
Him too.
If we had a shop there in the wildlife was working out, that'd be great. Right now, water in Oakland. I'm not a big fan of Oakland.
I'll look at that with you. You said you do have a trough you can stick up there?
Yeah, I got a trough. I'll get to those. I'll donate it. All right.
Thank you, Brent, for all you do.
Yes,
everybody needs to recognize that Brent sends us an email 4 or 5 times a week updating. I mean, he's a full-time employee for free.
I pretty much don't have to do updates. Brad's got it covered.
So, the membership should understand that there's no way this place could function without a lot of people. I don't want to slide anybody, but Brent
is the nuts and bolts
for free is tracking everything and updating and working on ranch projects nonstop. So.
All right, I think.
I got one question for you, Larry.
Yes, sir.
You ordered the beds for cabin three?
I sure did.
And they say what was the time period for delivery?
He didn't say. I said get them ordered, and I didn't ask. But
that's our first cabin rented out after seven. June 5th is first reservation.
I looked at that cabin, and you got box spring and mattresses for the queens, but just
not for the twins. You don't need
We don't need box springs. Okay. I looked at them and I thought, well.
And I bought a whole box of pillows for the whole cabin.
Is there a sheet of plywood on those now?
No.
Okay, so that's something I'm going to buy. I got all new pillows for them, all the beds.
We should have saved those box springs, Kurt.
Yeah, I know.
Let's talk about date for next meeting. Next meeting is going to be in June. Second Saturday of June is what day? Somebody that has a calendar.
Anybody got a calendar?
I don't
have one. Hold on a second. I've got one here somewhere. Les Mariah, are you still on?
Yeah, that'd be June 13th.
Tonight.
Oops,
I got the 9th, the 2nd.
I got last year.
Second Saturday, June 13th.
The second Saturday is
me.
June
Sorry.
13th.
Yep.
At 11 o'clock, meeting here.
What day?
The 13th. Saturday the 13th.
Oh, dear.
You want to change it to a week earlier or a week later, or will that make any difference?
Do the week earlier. Yeah.
That would be June 6th. Well, we can't.
Anyway, just do it. Right. Cool. And then I'm going to do on the next meeting on the 6th, we're going to have a barbecue after the meeting.
Fantastic! I'm starving.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
So we're gonna plan on the meeting.
Well, I've been a little busy
on June 6th.
But this time I'm gonna plan one, and we'll have one
at 11 o'clock. The executive session will have at 10:30 before. Any questions? This meeting is officially adjourned.